Hello. Thank you for stopping by today. This ministry is here to bring the transforming Word of God with power to you. Many today have questions like, who is this Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ relevant to my life today? What does it mean to be born again? Is the Bible even real, true, and practical? Who is the Holy Spirit? How can I receive my healing miracles? Are healing and miracles even for us today? By the help of the Holy Spirit, Bishop Odolaju will be answering these and many other questions as he teaches the Word of God. Get ready to be inspired, fed, encouraged, healed, and blessed. And now, here's Bishop for today's message.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Thank you for joining me once again and listening to the message that we're going to be presenting today. We've started a sub-series within our series, Jesus Heal Them All. And we are looking at Jesus, our helper. Praise the Lord. He is everything to us. He is our healer, he is our deliverer, he is our soon coming king. Is our Savior. Is everything. He's everything. Glory to God. So we are going to continue that message series this afternoon, this evening, this morning, wherever you are. And our text has been Psalm 121, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 121, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Glory to God. Psalm 46. Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roll and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There's so much truth embedded in these verses. The last time I talked about Jesus being our help, and I gave us some definition of what help means. Help is somebody, you know, you need to carry a load. They help you to carry the load, whether it's a physical load or a spiritual load. You have a flat tire, somebody stops and they help you, or you're broke and somebody gives you some extra money to help with that situation, or you need physical, you have a physical condition, and either through a doctor or through divine help, you get help. That's an example of help. And we looked at some example from dictionary what help is. Last time we focused on the story of Peter walking on water. Peter walking on water, we find that in the book of Matthew chapter 14. And I emphasize the fact that when Peter walked on water and he began to sink, he was not analyzing the situation, he was not legalizing the situation, he was not doing any type of analysis. The only thing that Peter did was he cried, according to scripture, and he said, Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. And I told you last time that one of the keys to getting the help that is available, according to Psalm 46, Jesus, the Word of God says, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Oh, you don't have to be in trouble to ask for help, but even when you are in trouble, he's a very present help. He is available. He is right there. He's waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to call on him. So I told us last time that Peter cried. He wasn't analyzing the situation. He wasn't talking to everybody. You know, that's what we do many times. We talk to our spouse. We talk to the atmosphere. We talk to the wind. We talk to our friends. We talk to our boss. We talk to the doctor. We talk to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Every specialist, everyone that cares, and everyone that don't care. Except the right person, which is the Lord. To bring our request unto him and tell him, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need it. And I told us last time, sometimes our pride gets in the way. You know, you are kind of, some people talk about a self-made millionaire, all of that good stuff. But I'm telling you, without the help of God, they won't be there. They will not agree with that, but that's the truth. God is our ultimate help. You know, that brain that you have, who gave it to you? That business acumen that you have, who gave it to you? That ability that you have, you know, the fact that you are able to walk, to think, to form thoughts, to form business ideas, is not something that you came up with. That is something that God put there. Even though you may not acknowledge it, even though you may not know it, God put that there. The ability for you to run the Usain Bolt of the world, the ability for you to run businesses, the business magnet of the world, the ability to do whatever you are doing, it's a gift from the living God. Praise the Lord. So it's not you. It's not you. It's God. You know, doctors, sometimes they have what they call the God complex. I find that very, very funny. Because they can't, even when doctors get sick with incurable disease, you look at them, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but they can't even help themselves. Even with their God complex, when they get into that situation, I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm just saying that ultimately, when the rubber meets the road, when the chips fall down, we all need God. Amen? We all need the help of the living God. Some people don't want to acknowledge it until they get to the grave. And that time is too late. You know, the first help that you need from the Lord is salvation. And He's already provided that. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and according to Hebrews 10:10, and you confess with your mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the number one and the most important help that you can need, that you can look for. It's not money, it's not even help in your marriage, it's not even help with your health. It's your eternal security, eternal salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. So if you are not born again, you have not met the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to cry like Peter did in Matthew 14. Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. You know, Jesus is amazing. The Lord Jesus is amazing. He's not just saving us from hell, which is ultimate in my book and in anyone's book. It should be ultimate. But even the things that we deal with on planet Earth, He helps us with it. But the help sometimes will not come just randomly. Amen? You know, God is sovereign. He does some things without us asking Him. But for the most part, you have to ask for help. Have you ever, you know, gone to your boss or somebody and they just give you help without you asking? If that happens, that's the sovereign move of God. That's the sovereign move of God. That's why many times people are waiting. When is my help going to come? Cry unto the Lord. Look at the example of Peter, Matthew 14. Look at the example of Peter and cry, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. So for our teaching today, glory to God, for our teaching today, I want us to look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. If you have the Bible, you can open there. Mark chapter 10. Beginning from verse 46, this is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Like I said, there are so many examples that we can go into, but I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. You can also find these stories in Luke, this particular story in Luke chapter 18 verse 38, or you can also see it in Matthew 9 verse 27. But we're going to take the Mark account. The Bible says here, "Now they came to Jericho. As they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." That was his profession. That's what they know him for. He was sitting by the road begging. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," just like you are hearing me today, that Jesus is ready to help you. You know, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. "He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Let me stop for a moment there. You see a similarity between what blind Bartimaeus is doing and what Peter did in the passage that we read for our last message and that I just touched on briefly in Matthew 14. He was not analyzing it. He was not trying to figure it out. he just cried. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus, verse 49, stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and said to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Now they are his friends. Say, "Be of good cheer. He's calling you." You got his attention. Before, they were telling him to be quiet, but now they are his friends. Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because you are a beggar, so maybe you need some money. "I've got an accountant." Remember, the Lord Jesus had an accountant. Judas was stealing from the purse. If you're a student of the scripture, you know that. So you don't have an accountant unless you have an account. Many of us, we don't have an accountant because there's nothing to count. But that's a different subject. But Jesus had an accountant because he had money. You don't count nothing. But anyway, so Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you? You're a beggar. Maybe you need some money. Maybe you need some change. I'm going to give it to you." He's not assuming. Even though the Lord knows what he needed, he wanted him to put it in words. Did you get that? Peter requested what he wanted from the Lord. "Lord, save me." So the Lord is setting him up to be blessed. Amen. He's setting him up to receive. This is how it works. This is how the helper will come to your aid. This is how the Lord Jesus, the ultimate helper, will come to your aid. You have to ask. The blind man said unto him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." That is more important to me than some change, because if I get my sight, I can go out and work and make some money for myself. If I get my sight, I can go and buy me some house. I can go and buy me some car. I can go and marry and have a family that I always wanted to have. I can actually appreciate the surrounding. I don't need a stinking stick anymore. I don't need the garment of a beggar anymore. That's why I threw it aside. That's a separate subject. I don't need all of that anymore. All I need from you, Jesus, Son of David, open my eyes. And I know you can do it. That's why I did all the stuff that I did, because who's going to help me find that garment that I threw on the ground? Who's going to help me, you know, get back to my stick because I threw it away? Because I am so convinced, I am so persuaded, I am so ready to receive the help that you are going to offer me today. That was his frame of mind. So now look at what Jesus said. Then the blind man said unto him, in verse 51b, the blind man said unto him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. So I'm building on Matthew 14 when Peter said, "Jesus, save me." Look at what blind Bartimaeus said. "Jesus, save me," in some other way. He said, "That I may receive my sight." Maybe your situation may be, "Lord, that I might be healed." Or maybe your situation might be, "Lord, that my son might come back home." Maybe your situation might be, "Lord, that I might be released from this prison." Whether it's a physical prison or a spiritual prison, whatever that might be. Maybe your situation might be, "Lord, that my finances might improve." Maybe your situation might be, "Lord, that you might open a new door of job opportunity for me." Whatever that might be, you cry unto the Lord. You cry unto the Lord. You throw caution to the wind. Be like blind Bartimaeus. And just throw the garment that identifies you as a blind person. Throw that away. Throw the stick away. And walk to the Lord Jesus, figuratively speaking. And say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on him, on me." And once you get his attention, don't be distracted by the naysayers. Like it happened in this story, there will be naysayers. There will be people that will tell you, "What are you doing? You're just wasting your time. What is all this prayer stuff that you do? What is all this Bible stuff that you do? It doesn't work anymore." Don't listen to that. There's always going to be naysayers. So join the camp. There's always going to be somebody. Somebody's going to listen to this message and say, "He's one of those name it and claim it people. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm with them." Praise the Lord. I am with them. because the Lord, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. I take what the Bible says, I take it verbatim, and I swallow it all. And I believe it. And I see it in my life. I see in our next message, I'm going to share a testimony with you. And I'm going to also direct you to a story that was done by CBN 700 Club on what the Lord did for us. So I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I'm not just talking practical. I'm not just talking theory. I've seen God practically invade our family and invade our situation and offer us help. And there are millions and millions of stories like that. You don't see that in mainstream media, but it's happening. The Lord is actively helping His people. And I'm telling you today, He wants to help you. So going back to this story, Jesus was asking blind Bartimaeus. You know, when you see the word Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. When you study the scripture, Bar means son of Timaeus. So Bar Jonas, son of Jonas. When you see that in the Bible, that's what it means. So they call him blind Bartimaeus. They've actually changed his name. His condition has become part of his identity. Maybe your own condition has become part of your identity. Maybe they call you the son of, or the dad or the mom of whatever your son or your daughter has, or whatever your financial situation is, or maybe they call you the jobless guy or the homeless guy or whatever that situation is. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is in the turnaround business, and part of His turnaround is to help you. Oh, that has been so heavy on my heart over the last several weeks. The Lord has been speaking to me personally, and He's told me to preach this message that He is your help. He is your help. He is there to help you. He is a present help in that time of situation that you are in that time of trouble that you are in. He is ready to rescue you. He is ready to bring you out. He is ready to support you, to lift you up. Oh, glory to God. So moving forward in this study, so we've established the fact that you have to cry and ask God for help. It's very, very basic. That's the basic. But on top of that, you see something that the Lord brought out in this story in Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. In many church circles, that is something that is never even taught. But they forget that to even become saved, to become a child of God, you come in by faith. The Bible says by faith you have been saved. By grace, rather, you have been saved through faith. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Without faith, you can't be saved. Without faith, you cannot come into the family of God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, you can't please God. Jesus honed in on that. And he more or less brought out something that otherwise would not have been obvious. He said, "Your faith has made you well." Oh, no. Wait a minute. Your faith. Many times in many church circles that I've been around, thank God I've been in the faith circle for a very long time. So when I go into some places and I'm just observing and I'm seeing what's happening, I'm touching my spirit, man. Like, okay, why are they acting like this? You need faith to be able to connect with God. You need faith to be able to connect with God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, verse 3, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So faith is very essential. You see that in blind Bartimaeus. He threw away his garment. One of the things that you see about faith can be seen in your words and in your action. Glory to God. The things that come out of your mouth is an indication of where you are with your faith. You know, sometimes, you know, people don't want to hear that. They are looking for a magic trick from God. God is not an ATM. Let me repeat that. The Lord is not an ATM. There are protocols and there are ways and a manner in which things operate in the kingdom of God. Faith is important. It may not be taught in your church. It may not move in the circle where it's taught, but it's very important. Without faith, it's impossible to connect with the power of God. Without faith, it's impossible to connect with the help of God. In fact, when you look at the story in Matthew 14 that we read, let's go back there. Hold your place in Mark 11. Go to Matthew 14. I want to point something out to you. Matthew 14 that we read with Peter. Glory to God. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, if it be thou, I'm reading from the New King James, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You've spent some time to explain that. You have to tell God you need help. Now look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Did you get that, the last part? He said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Did you notice that Jesus, when he was addressing blind Bartimaeus, he addressed his faith? When he was addressing Peter here in Matthew 14, verse 31, he addressed his faith. Howbeit, Jesus said his faith was little. You know, there's another teaching that I've done that talks about how you measure your faith. But let's move on. He said, O thou of little faith. So if there's little faith, there has to be big faith. Amen. If there's little faith, there has to be big faith. So Jesus is assigning size or degree. You know, like something is hot, is cold, is warm. You can tell in your mind what that person is talking about. You say it's very hot, it's hot, or it's warm, or it's cold. You can tell in your mind what to expect before you even touch it. So Jesus is saying here, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So faith is important, is essential to get help from God. Amen. Contrary to what you may have heard, faith is important. Faith is important. Hebrews 11:1 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that God exists, that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So your faith is very important. So Jesus highlighted the faith of Peter. The only thing that Jesus said about his faith was it was little. Now let me ask you, if Jesus said your faith, Peter, is little, and he walked on water, imagine what big faith would do. Did you catch that? He said, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? If little faith can walk on water, what would big faith do? Oh, the opportunities, the options are limitless. The options are limitless. Just like the things that are available in God are limitless. Because everything that you and I will ever need is available in God. You have to cry unto him, but you have to do it in faith. Did you catch that? You have to do it in faith. Jesus underscored his faith, or the faith of Peter, in this passage in Matthew 14:31. The same like he did in our passage that we are looking at today in Mark chapter 10 in verse 52. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. What is faith? You know, faith, according to the one definition you see in scripture, but you see it displayed without it being defined all through scriptures. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You just have this dogged faith. There's another series that I'm going to be teaching in the future by the grace of God on the subject, focus exclusively on the subject of faith. How does faith work? How do you get it? How do you know you have it? Because it's not one of those esoteric things. Do I have faith? I don't know. There's a way you can tell if you do have faith, and even to what degree that you do have it. It's in the Bible. It's not some magic. It's not some magic trick or something, you know, that you can't figure out. In chemistry, they have what is called a litmus test. When you do the litmus test and it turns blue or red, I can't remember now if it's blue or red. I think red is acid, the blue is base. From my high school days, well, the same thing in spiritual things. You can test your level of faith, and you can test whether you have faith. One of the indications is the words coming out of your mouth. If it's words of faith, then you are in faith. If it's words of doubt, then you are in doubt. But that's not the subject of this teaching. But I want you to understand, what I want you to hone in tonight or today is to see that Jesus underscored their faith in both instances. In this instance of Peter, of little faith, and in the instance of blind Bartimaeus, he talked about his faith. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, let's see what happened. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way, on the road, on the way, depending on which translation you're reading. Immediately, he received his sight. So, we see a combination of asking, but asking in faith. The first message, I focus on the asking part because many people don't realize that they have to ask God for help. You have to cry unto the Lord for help. And that's where your prayer life is very, very important. Your personal prayer life before the Lord, presenting your case before the Lord. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. But in everything. In how many things? In everything. No matter the thing. No matter how big, small, or middle size. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That is the word of God. You have to let your request be made known unto God. You can't hide it in your head. You can't say, God knows everything. You know, that's another lie from the pit of hell to keep you where you are. You say, God knows everything. If God is going to do something about it, he's going to do something about it. One of my favorite verses that really settles this for me from many years ago that God showed me this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I heard a man of God preach on this concept that you can flip it backwards. And let me try it. Let me show you what I mean. And then you will see the contrast. Do not ask and it shall not be given to you. Do not seek and you will not find. Do not knock and the door will not be opened to you. Do you see that? So you have to be involved. You have to present your request to the Lord. Just like Peter did. Jesus, Lord, save me. Just like blind Bartimaeus did. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse Matthew 7:7 is saying it, and he's saying it emphatically. Ask and it shall be given to you. Not it might be given to you. Maybe sometime it will be given to you. Sometimes it won't. Like some teaching that is going on in the church. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says ask and it shall be given to you. This is the words of Jesus. Check your Bible. It's in red. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, verse 8. Oh, this is such a blessing. For everyone that ask, receive. And he that seek, finds. And glory to God. To him that knocketh, or knocks rather, it shall be opened unto him. Wait a minute. But, you know, I've been asking for years and years and years. Maybe you are missing a particular component in the mixture. Because the words of Jesus Christ here said, everyone that ask, receive. And everyone that seek, find. And everyone that knock, it shall be opened. Settle it. Don't argue God's word. When you argue God's word, it doesn't work for you. You have to ask. You have to align yourself with God. God is not going to align himself with you. You have to align yourself with the word of God. The word of God is saying here, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. In case that does not settle it for you, then it goes further in verse 8. It said, for everyone that ask, receive, and everyone that seek will find, and everyone that knocketh, or knocks rather, it shall be opened to them. Glory to God. So we have established two components to be to God, the helper, the ultimate helper, coming to your aid. You ask. And then today we are honing in on the other part, or the second part of the component, which is your faith. Your faith must be engaged. Your faith must be engaged. No matter the situation, you just believe God. Oh, glory to God. A scripture that God brought to my attention this morning that has just turned my world upside down, is been a blessing. I'm going to share that with you right now. Glory to God. This morning I woke up and the Lord just put this verse in my spirit. And I just feel impressed to share that right now. And it's in Isaiah 55 verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 2. He said, ho, everyone that thirst, come you to the waters, or come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let me read that verse again. Everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Wait a minute, that's a contradiction. You don't have money, but the Lord is saying, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, glory to God. If that scripture will sink into your spirit, man, you realize that you don't need money. You just need God. You realize that you don't need medicine. You just need God. You realize that you don't need people. I'm not saying be a hermit. Don't socialize. That's not what I mean. You don't need them in the sense of being your source, being your help, being the person that you look to. No, no, no. He said, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes. He already said you don't have any money. And he said, come buy and eat. How do you buy without money? Oh, glory to God. He said, come buy wine and milk without money and without price, because I am your source. Because I'm El Elyon. I'm the El Shaddai God, the more than enough God. That's why you can buy without money and without price. That's why you can come. You are thirsty. Come to the waters, to the living waters. Your situation has put you in a position of thirsty, or hungry, or homeless, or dejected, or battered, or demoralized, or sick, or whatever that situation might be. God is calling you. He said, come, everyone who thirsts, to the waters. Remember, Jesus Christ is a living water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yea, yes, rather, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, I grew up on New King James and King James Version, so all the yeas and the yees will come out. It's going to come out. Anyway, there's no way I can go around it. But it's still the truth. The truth of the Word of God is still there. He said, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm telling you, you don't need anybody but God. Oh, I'm not saying ignore your friends or cut them off or delete them from your social media feeds and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying put your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything will fall in place. Oh, the Bible says they looked unto him and their face were lighted. Everyone that looks unto the Lord will not be put to shame. Everyone that keeps their gaze on the Lord will not be put to shame. Everyone that focuses their attention on the Lord and looks to him and to him only as their source for everything. There's nothing that you need. I don't care what it is. There's nothing that you need that the Lord cannot provide. He is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Whether it's healing in your body, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your physical body, your health, your home, whatever it is, your business, your career, whether you're in government, whether it's politics, whatever it might be, if you look to the Lord, you are going to come up higher. You are going to come up higher. Oh, I tell you today, that is the message that the Lord has put in my heart to share with you, that this Jesus Christ of Nazareth is still available to help you. to strengthen you. Oh, my time is gone. My time is gone. I usually like to stay within 30 minutes, but I'm over right now. But I believe this message has been a blessing to you. But before we wrap up, I'm just going to pray real quick. Lord, I pray for my brother and my sister where they are. Lord, I release the word of faith, the word of hope, the word of encouragement into their hearts right now. And I ask you, oh God, I ask you, Lord, that you will help them to turn their attention to you. Don't look at any pastor, don't look at any man, don't look at any help. Oh, look unto the Lord. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, not from man, not from any organization, but from the Lord. The Lord is your help. He will open new doors. He will open brand new doors. The Lord can create brand new opportunity out of thin air. Because, remember, He's the one that created the entire universe out of nothing. Out of nothing. Oh, Father, we just thank you. I pray for my brother and my sister. If they are demoralized right now, their hope is gone, that faith will arise on the inside of them. Strength will arise on the inside of them. Lord, I break every power of the enemy over their life. I break every oppression of darkness around them right now in the name of Jesus. I release faith into your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have heard the word of God, so I believe by the authority of that scripture that faith has come. And so, Father, today in the name of Jesus, the grace to go forward in this authority that has been released to them, Lord, I receive for them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being with us for today's broadcast. We believe this message has been a blessing to you. Don't forget to visit our website, bicconline.org, for more resources like books, videos, blogs, free gospel tracts, and more. We also invite you to subscribe to our social media feeds to get up-to-date messages, blogs, and upcoming event information from this ministry. Until our next broadcast, remember, God loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus is Lord, and He is your healer.